Hear me okay? I want to thank Joan and Chris for having me, and Jay and Barbara and Sharon for the great poems. I'm kind of bringing up the rear here. I think in the Tour de France they call that the Lantern Rouge, isn't it? The last guy. Mediocre jazz guitarist, mediocre poet, basically. That's mediocre. I'm going to read some poems for Jimmy to start with. This one's called When Harry Greb Fought Tommy Gibbons. Forbes Field, July 31st, 1920, 4:30 in the afternoon. A hot day in Pittsburgh, mills spewing ash as usual. Then the dark sky darkened and it rained. A deluge, a summer torrent of thunder and lightning halfway through the bout. The sports writers ran for cover. 12,000 patrons did the same. While the two men fought against the storm and the gods who were wagering, throwing electric thunderbolts in the air to the head, to the body. Ankle deep in water and blood, the ring a dirty lagoon, said the Pittsburgh Post, and rising like a coal fire. Hurry up, said the ref. One, a light heavyweight, one, a middleweight. The way they did it back then, with no quarter. Each in his own mind sending the other to a hell no worse than this city or a heaven which in Pittsburgh hadn't been invented yet. This next one's called Too Good. Charlie Burley was too good. Everybody in Pittsburgh said so. The sports writers, the trainers, the cut men, all the mill workers, the garbage men, the mechanics. The great Sugar Ray Robinson said so. The great Sugar Ray, who fought Jake LaMotta six times, said he wouldn't fight Charlie Burley because he was too good. Wouldn't risk getting his face beat flat as a piece of tin. Besides, I have Fritzy Zivic, he said. When the greatest fighter in the history of boxing is afraid of you, that's something. It was said that the parabolic curve of Charlie's left hook was so deadly, so mathematical, it was borrowed for the Manhattan Project. Yet so beautiful it could have been drawn by Da Vinci. The middleweight Archie Moore never knew what hit him, or from what altitude, or from what continent. He almost lost an eye. The blast from Charlie's fist was so bright on the horizon, the bomb sight cracked before the fallout began. This one's called Joe Louis Runs the Voodoo Down. Town by town, the people came and asked, could he raise a man from the dead? Could he heal the sick? He who could tear an auditorium in two with his fists. He whose strength was twice the strength of an ordinary man. He who nearly won World War II by himself before it started, thank you very much. When he found the jaw of the National Socialist Max Schmeling in 1938 at Yankee Stadium. There's a lot of things wrong with America, but Hitler won't fix it, he said. Who loved his mother and Detroit and golf and sunsets and Jesus, and on the advice of his handlers, never had his picture taken with a white woman. This is called I Know You're Kind. I know you're kind, he said. Back in 68, short hairs didn't associate with long hairs and vice versa. He made a knife-like motion with his hand, slitting his throat. It was meant for me. I was young, just out of high school, a love tap. It happened in passing at Ford, where the engine lines were up in the air, back by the tool crib. The noise rough, the air unbreathable. He had a George Wallace for President decal on his hard hat. They all did. The skilled trades, the millwrights, the carpenters, the electricians. Who knew the UAW that was supposed to be the sword arm of the Democratic Party would switch and mean it? Later that shift, I heard the baseball game on the radio at the back of the plant, then Coltrane and Bird, then the killing in Asia. The world was cruel and everybody knew it. That was the backstory. So help me God. Better to find out now about dirt and loss. Better to find out now about jazz and the country that started it. This one's called Tell Me a Bedtime Story. Tell me a bedtime story about the conquerors of the ancient world, the sword-wielding heroes of youth, victorious in Latin and Greek. Odysseus, Achilles, Alexander, Caesar, and brave in translation when I was not. Tell me a bedtime story about Ellington and Balanchine and Jerome Robbins and swing, and how it conquered our shamed republic, and how brave it was in the telling when I was not. Tell me a bedtime story about Gene Ammons and his horn dancing the blues over Lake Michigan. Brave Jug, just out of prison, who conquered Chicago and the known world. To you I pray, let country and Western America have all the jazz you can muster. If you see something, play something. Like blowing the blues away, and tell me a bedtime story when I grow up, even though it's wrong, because wrong is right. One of the bands I used to play in had a couple of jobs each summer at a nudist colony, and this is called Undress Rehearsal. Really, what great! It was a great gig. And this kind of owes something to a Sharon Olds poem, and you'll recognize it when it ends. All of us hold our instruments gingerly. It's our jazz at Massey Hall moment once a year at a nudist colony near the Ohio state line. I'll be Bird, you be Dizzy, a May night in an open hall of only tennis shoes and warm cicadas. With the trumpet, trombone, vibes, guitar, bass, and drums, plus wives and girlfriends who fight to hear the tired choruses or strain to see American flesh in abundance. But appearances lie. That the goateed boppers knew even back then. The first rule of jazz, it's not the shape of a line that matters, not the bunch of notes hung like wash after all and then erased. You have to start and finish together, note for note, trumpet and alto. The naked brass and reed, that's how you get to Carnegie Hall. Be a dragonfly tapping out Morse code on the bandstand, or blow now as thou wilt be blown. I was a guitar player, and this poem is for the greatest of all jazz guitar constructors, guitar makers, luthiers. And it's called Intimation of Immortality for John DeAngelico. And has a little epigram at the beginning. Let me first do some great thing that shall be told among men hereafter. And that's from the Iliad. Speak, memory, of the cunning hero from Little Italy, the archtop carver, the workshop magician. Blown off course time and again, he set sail after he plundered Manhattan's sacred heights from Kenmare streets. And speak, memory, tell the tale of John of the Angels, alone among men, a Stradivarius of sawdust and great deeds, from Little Italy, how he carved jazz guitars for Johnny Smith and Barney Kessel and Oscar Moore and others, with chisel and apron, in the 1930s and 40s and 50s in New York, taking time with spruce and maple and ebony, his sunburst bodies naked as the nymph Calypso, on whom it was said no man might gaze lest he be consumed alive, but who bore John many children, whose only God was heaven, strung above the city's roof, whose only hell the flame beneath the fretboard of the sea. A couple of short ones and I'll finish up. This one's called Thus I Am Not Able to Enter Paradise. Today, where the rivers meet in Pittsburgh in wonder and barges ply the water like egrets, I pray, Lord, I'm sorry for being my lazy self, for not learning the blues in all keys like Lester Young said, then forgetting all that shit and just playing like a city forgets, who once thought coke ovens were beautiful and testified as such. This one was in the Post Gazette a couple of weeks ago. This is called Climate Change. If the sea keeps rising, it will reach Pittsburgh tomorrow, and I will put on new clothes and forget Myrtle Beach and Charleston and the Outer Banks. And I will pray with the fish over rusty mills and trade places with ore cars and cranes. Roses are red, violets are blue. I will sing underwater now before a new sunrise, before I go to work, before I pay taxes. This is the last one. This is called Looking Out Towards Lawrenceville, April 2019. The sun, after months of darkness, after a winter of clouds and wind, after discontent, after lies and lies explaining lies, and prayers, and ice, and rivers forgetting to flow, just sitting there under barges and towboats, just sitting there until God says, and the trees just standing there until God says, and the shrinking city just working there until God says, and mud running down the hillsides without end until God says, and the sun, after months of suffering, undresses in front of my window, shy as a colt, and asks for forgiveness.
Thanks. Thank you all.